Force Company, 1025-1063, The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt. Three quarters of Force Company here today. No Nick Keezer on this Saturday morning. We're rolling along, and we are pleased to be joined now on the phones by the voice of the Vandy Boys, Andrew Allegretta. Andrew, I know we've talked about getting you on here pretty much all month since we started. Thank you for coming on. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Doing great. Excited for game two of this series with the Vols coming up this afternoon. Last night, a tough one for Vanderbilt. Led 4-3 in the eighth, but a big rally from Tennessee got them the 8-4 win. But a competitive game, Andrew, and Bryce Cunningham looked great. Saw Jacob Humphrey come back into the lineup and have a lot of success, a home run, and then a two RBI single. What did you like from the team last night after a tough couple of weekends in the SEC, and maybe what can they build on heading into game two?
Well, certainly the way that Bryce Cunningham threw, as you noted, I think it was 10 strikeouts. That's his third performance of 10 strikeouts here this season. He's a pitcher that could find his way perhaps into the back end of the first round, perhaps a second or third round draft pick this coming MLB draft. He's been a wonderful story, guys. He was someone a little bit under-recruited coming out of Alabama, but had a big, strong arm, big, strong frame, and he's just been a worker since he got to Vanderbilt. He's developed himself, had a tough year last year because of injuries, but this year he's been pretty special. He's been a top five, top 10 pitcher in the Southeastern Conference. It's certainly one of those situations, the way that baseball goes. It's a shame that Vanderbilt wasn't able to win in a performance like he had yesterday. I think it was, five hits and three runs, but considering the offense that Tennessee puts out there, that's one of the best pitching performances against that offense this entire season. So watching the way that Bryce threw was a lot of fun last night. In terms of what they can build off of, you know, it's a difficult stretch for Vanderbilt. No one's going to duck that. Tim Corbin's not going to duck that. I think after the ball game, he talked about the bullpen and basically said, we've got who we've got unless for some reason Jesus comes back. And I think that was the exact quote. So they're going to have to play really good baseball these next couple of games against an offense that has this level of firepower, and they're going to come at you one through nine through nine innings, just like Texas A&M did. So it's going to be a difficult couple of games, but Vanderbilt showed with really good pitching that they can make this competitive one through nine. So we'll see how it goes.
Andrew Allegretta is with us here on Force Company at 102.5 The Game. Andrew, quick little question here about, you know, just the recent stint of games for Vanderbilt. Obviously didn't win any games against Georgia the last, three games before they ended up playing Louisville. Last weekend on the show, I mentioned, you know, when you have a SEC conference, little three-game split there, and then you go out of conference and go back into conference, is that more of just a vibe check for the team to go back into just getting back into things in the SEC, or is it just more of a kind of confidence boost just to make sure they can go on and potentially make it a run at late on in the season before the SEC tournament?
You know, I'm going to do that thing where politicians get a question and then they answer their own question. I hate to sound like a broken record. It's going to sound like sour grapes, guys. I don't mean to do it, but this season has been defined by injuries. I'm not saying Vanderbilt would be sitting at number one in the polls if nobody got hurt. But if you run down the list, I've never seen a team, frankly, at Vanderbilt or anywhere that I have ever broadcasted for, Virginia Tech or Tulane or even Charleston Southern, that has had their season completely turned upside down and changed throughout the course of it, not just at the start, but throughout the course of the season with injuries. I think any team in America is going to struggle if, and this list will get a little bit lengthy, number one, you lose your top returning hitter from a season ago, Chris Maldonado. You lose your best hitter this season, Jaden Davis, after you took a fastball to the face at 93 a couple of weeks ago. Your top pitcher from the sophomore class, Andrew Dukanich, is done for the season. Your top bullpen pitcher, Sawyer Hawks, is done for the season, effectively. Goodness, the list goes on. How about your top defensive transfer, Jacob Humphrey, goes down for the better part of the season? How about Cam Kozel, who could have been an SEC Freshman of the Year type candidate? He was the SEC Freshman of the Week after going 14 for 24 against teams like Texas and Louisiana. He misses a massive chunk of the season with a shoulder problem. Your top career winner in pitching, Devin Futrell, goes down for a chunk of the season with a shoulder problem. Jack Bolger, who is supposed to be a fixture in this lineup, whether in left field, whether as DH, missed almost the entire first half of the season with a hamstring injury. Not only are you asking people to step into situations that probably they're not ready for, with all due respect to the freshmen that are very, very talented, but they need some time. But even when guys come back, the way that I always phrase it is they come back and while everybody else is playing April or May baseball, they're playing February or March baseball. There's no flow. There's no fluidity. The cohesion's not there. I think these players and these coaches have poured their heart out for this program this season. But, you know, frankly, guys, I watch some of the coverage. I hear some of the coverage. I feel like mud gets slung at the program a little bit at the moment. And I don't know that the injury situation has been given a level of credence that is necessary. I'm not saying Vanderbilt, again, would be ranked number one if everybody was healthy. I'm not saying Vanderbilt would have 100 home runs if Vanderbilt didn't have a single injury. But it's certainly been a significant problem for the team this year. So, but it is what it is. Like, you're going to have to gut check yourself and get the people healthy that can play and try to come up with a reasonable response versus Tennessee these next couple of games.
We're talking with Andrew Allegretta, voice of the Vandy Boys. Andrew, you mentioned kind of the plate discipline and how hitting has been tough to come by for this team. Who, in your mind, in this series, heading towards the SEC tournament, and even, I know, the national tournament, who, in your mind, needs to step up at the plate?
Frankly, they all do. And that's not, again, to dodge the question, but Vanderbilt doesn't have the singular hitter this season that just can take over a ball game. Right, like in the past, it might have been a Dansby Swanson type. It might have been a Brian Reynolds type. Or at somewhere like Texas A&M where you've got Braden Montgomery or Jace LaViolette who can just, you know, lift the lineup, or Charlie Condon can lift the lineup at Georgia. I don't know that Vanderbilt has that singular player to do it. They're all going to have to be productive in some capacity. Now, I think Coach Corbin would tell you that the upperclassmen are going to have their moments. That means Jonathan Vastine and Davis Diaz and Alan Espinal have to be big at the top of the order for Vanderbilt. I don't have the stat in front of me. I think 1 through 5 went 1 for 16 or 1 for 18 last night. And the fact that Vanderbilt was close and really competitive in that game, one, is a testament to Bryce Cunningham, and two, is also a testament to the bottom part of the order. Because if you're 1 through 5 goes 1 for 18, and it's a one-run ball game where you lead it in the eighth inning, that's pretty remarkable. So that can't sustain here today.
You mentioned the injuries, Andrew. In a conference like the SEC, how tough is it just to keep your head above water when you're playing Texas A&M, who was the number one team in the country for a long time? Georgia's got the presumptive number one pick in Charlie Condon. Tennessee's the number one team in the country now, and, oh, you head on the road to Kentucky, another top five team next week. Can it just be tough to stop the hits from coming when you're just getting some bad luck injury-wise?
Yeah, I mean, confidence is such a huge part of it, and it's a delicate balance, Jake. You would know this. Everybody would know it. Like, baseball is a weird sport, almost like golf, where if you start to try too hard, you make more mistakes, right? You chase after pitches that you're not supposed to chase after. Coach Corbin talked about the Georgia series, where the pitchers were trying so hard that they just gripped the baseball a little bit too tight. And then all of a sudden you either miss middle and it's a home run, or you miss 6 inches off the plate and you walk a bunch of guys. So it's a really challenging sport when the players that feel like they have to step up, i.e. the starting pitchers like Bryce Cunningham or Carter Halton, try a little bit too hard because they recognize the injury situation, or the freshmen are out there at times with bright lights. I mean, Braden Holcomb and Colin Barzee and Cam Koshal, this freshman class has a chance to be ultra special for Vanderbilt. But it's still a lot to be thrown at you. So it's life in the Southeastern Conference, though. I mean, that gets said a million times. So I don't think anyone is necessarily attempting to make excuses. I try to provide context with the injury situation. But all you can do is step back into the fire. And Coach Corbin certainly knows that, and they'll do that again today.
We'll let you out here on this, Andrew. Drew Beam for Tennessee, Carter Halton for Vanderbilt today, 2 p.m. first pitch over at Hawkins Field. What do you think needs to happen today for Vanderbilt to even up the series and force a rubber match tomorrow?
You know, for Vanderbilt getting off to a good start, it's a really simple answer. Vanderbilt had runners at first and third with nobody out in the bottom of the first inning yesterday and could not score. Your best chance about really good pitchers is to get them off their game quickly. And Drew Beam is obviously a very talented pitcher from Blackman High School. And Vanderbilt has struggled with Drew Beam. In fact, Drew's best pitching performance probably came two seasons ago at Hawkins Field, where he threw a complete game shutout, gave up two hits. So Vanderbilt is very familiar with his stuff. Does that mean Vanderbilt is going to get to him early? I don't know. But figuring out a way to at least tack on some pitches so he doesn't get into cruise control too fast would be pretty good. And then certainly Carter Halton's going to have to perform. Vanderbilt has all of the pieces here today to get a victory tomorrow, to take two out of three. But finding a way to at least bump Drew Beam off his course would be pretty significant against a pitcher that 2 years ago or last year in Knoxville, Vanderbilt has not been able to do historically. So we'll see.
Andrew, thanks for your time. Again, you can tune in 1:45 pregame, 2 p.m. first pitch as Vanderbilt takes on Tennessee. Again, Andrew, thanks. Tell Luca I say hi and have a good call today.
Yeah, he started banging on the window. I don't know if anybody caught it in the background. I'm on my porch here. And he decided Dad's been on the phone too long. So I guess he ends the interview, not you guys. But a pleasure to talk with you.
Appreciate it, Andrew. We'll let you get back to Luca.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good one. Again, 1:45 pregame right here on 102.5 The Game. You don't even have to change the channel. You can stay right here as the Vandy boys try and even up that series with Tennessee. Big thanks to Andrew for coming on. Coming up next, we're going to talk some Titans. It's been a big week of Titans news with the Tyler Boyd signing and rookie minicamp starting. We heard from Will Levis. We heard from Brian Callahan. We heard from all the assistants. We're going to start with the Tyler Boyd signing coming up next. What does it mean for the Titans as a whole and that wide receiver room with some third-year players maybe being bumped out by that signing of Tyler Boyd? That's up next here on Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.